Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
Today's episode of the Sacramento Kings podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, manscaped.com. And the new Lawnmower 3.0. It's their third generation trimmer featuring a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce, well, to reduce accidents. And the last thing you want to deal with is a manscaping accident. This new Lawnmower 3.0 is water resistant technology. It allows you to groom in the shower. And it even got a LED light, which, well, again, it illuminates the grooming areas to avoid those accidents that we were talking about. In case you didn't hear me the first time, the last thing you want is a manscaping accident. We'll give you 20% off your order right now. Not just that. We'll give you 20% off your order and free shipping if you use the promo code HOOPBALL20. Go to manscaped.com right now. Manscaped.com. Check out their Lawnmower 3.0 and use the promo code HOOPBALL20 to get 20% off of your order. And we welcome you in and thank you for being here on the latest edition of the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by Hoopball and the Hoopball Podcast Network. I am your host, Damian Barling, and we've got quite a bit to get to today as we are sitting here as we are recording this on July 4th, 2020, which means we are getting closer and closer to the Sacramento Kings and the other 21 teams hopping on charter flights and heading to Orlando to resume the 2019-2020 NBA season, and we're getting closer and closer to games being played. As a matter of fact, we got a couple of more games added to the schedule, these of the scrimmage variety. It was announced that the Sacramento Kings will take on the Miami Heat on Wednesday, July 22nd. It was also announced that the Sacramento Kings will take on the Milwaukee Bucks on July 25th, and then again on July 27th. They'll take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Again, these are scrimmage games. I don't know what you call them. I mean, when I envision a scrimmage game, I envision like a practice, almost like a shirts and skins type gimmick. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect uniforms. But that's a scrimmage game. You can't call it a preseason game because it's not a preseason. I don't know to the degree in which these games are being played. Like, are they real full-on games like a preseason game would be, where guys are in, you know, full uniform, full tape job, everything is totally normal? Is this essentially, you know, with, I know it sounds like a silly, you know, thing to debate, but a preseason game has structure to it. You know, the timeouts, clocks, television, and then there's a scrimmage, which is just that. It's a scrimmage where it's more free flowing, and this is, you know, a lot of teams had been really concerned, which I think I honestly believe is the crux behind a 22 team season resumption rather than a 16 team season resumption, is that teams that actually have a chance to win the championship, teams that are going to be playing that are you know, top, I mean, I think you could say this comfortably with both conferences, the top seven teams in each side on in each conference, they got to get back into that rhythm. They got to get back into the flow. And we have no idea what basketball is going to look like when we return. We certainly don't know what it's going to look like on July 22nd. We don't know what it's going to look like on July 30th. The team will have only been practicing. I don't know what day the Sacramento Kings leave, but if you're unfamiliar with the parameters of your arrival in Orlando, it goes something like this. Teams over the course of July 7th, 8th, and 9th will have staggered times upon entering Orlando and entering the Walt Disney World Complex. Once they get to the Walt Disney World Complex, the players, the coaches, the medical physicians, they're all basically quarantined in their room for 36 to 48 hours. They'll take a test. They'll take a COVID-19 test. As they go to enter the complex, and then they'll take another one at the end of that 36 to 48 hours. And when I say they're quarantined inside the room, I mean they don't leave their room food will be brought to them. Everything that they need will be brought to them. But for 48 hours, they are essentially just locked down in their room with their devices, their phones, with whatever they brought with them. Like, that's the situation that they're going to be in. And that's going to be the case for all 22 teams upon their arrival to Orlando. So if you get there on the 7th, you don't start practicing until, you know, you've got to get, you know, your party tested. Your entire party has to get tested, and you've got to, you know, your entire party or the party that's going to be a part of practice, they've got to be cleared. So that's going to take, let's see, 7, 8. I mean, we're probably not talking the first actual practice till, depending on what day the Kings get, anywhere from the 11th to the 13th, maybe. And they're going to be playing a game against the Miami Heat on July 22nd, or they're going to be playing, you know, a scrimmage. They're going to be doing something of moderate competitiveness against the Miami Heat, and then a couple of days after that, again, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Los Angeles Clippers. We have, of course, the entire schedule. I don't know that we have talked since the entire schedule has been released, but the Kings will open things up on July 31st against the San Antonio Spurs. Get used to some weird start times, by the way, as we'll have... well, we're going to have some morning basketball coming up in August. Things will open up against the San Antonio Spurs in a game. I mean, hey, I'll go ahead and say it. It's a must win for the Kings. We can go ahead and say that. Game one of the resumption of the 2020 season is a must win for the Kings, because the Spurs, I don't think the Spurs really want to be there. I don't think the Spurs want to be there. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is having surgery. They never really got in the flow. They never really got in the vibe. They never made that run that I absolutely thought they were going to make. They never made that big push. They just kind of kept going. They might have made the playoffs. I don't think so. There were a couple of teams, I really think, prior to the end of the season, prior to the way the shutdown, prior to March 11th. I thought it pertained to the Western Conference. I thought we were talking about Memphis because, I mean, Memphis is in the 8th spot. I thought we were talking about the Kings because they were playing better than the Blazers. They were playing better than the Pelicans. They were playing better than the San Antonio Spurs, at least at that time. I thought they were playing better. I thought the Pelicans had really dropped some games that were consequential for them, you know, moving up into the standings a little bit. Again, nobody was out of reach of this thing. It's not like anybody couldn't, you know, if Memphis continued to falter a little bit, you know, nobody was out of reach, but I never felt like Portland had really, you know, Portland had a run. Remember where Dame Lillard, I know this feels like an eternity to go, but there was a stretch where Dame Lillard was just phenomenal. Like, he was absolutely incredible, and it didn't do anything. It didn't do anything for the Blazers as a team. It got Dame Lillard some, you know, notice around the league. Like, oh, look, Dame being Dame again, but team's not winning. I think he was averaging like 48 points for a stretch of games, and it didn't matter. That run never came from Portland. Now, everything that was happening back in March, none of it matters now. None of it matters now because if someone was injured, they're healed. And that pertains to the Sacramento Kings as well. I mean, Marvin Bagley, obviously, it's a big, big, big focal point is, where does Marvin Bagley fit in all this? He's missed a ton of time. Luke Walton, you know, the team has been, you know, doing Zoom conference calls with the media over the course of the last couple of days. So we've been talking to Bagley for the first time. We've been talking to De'Aaron for the first time. We've been hearing from Luke Walton on a daily basis. And, you know, with all of that, it's okay. Like, hey, coach, what's up with, what are you going to do with Bagley? It was like, hey, man, it's been a while since he's played, but we want to try to get him integrated. We want to see what he's able to do. But it's been a while since he's played. It's been a while since all of us have played, but Bagley has missed a ton of time. So we got the Kings and the Spurs to open things up. That, again, is on July 31st. 3 o'clock, we'll have the Kings and the Magic on August 2nd. 3 o'clock, August 2nd, we'll have the Kings and the Magic. We will have Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Sacramento Kings on August 4th at 11:30 a.m. Told you to get used to some interesting start times. August 4th, 11:30 a.m. against the Dallas Mavericks. August 6th, it'll be the first of two meetings between the Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans. That is a 10:30 a.m. start. 10:30 a.m. August 6th, the Sacramento Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans. From there, they'll take on the Brooklyn Nets or whatever on earth remains of them. They've had a rough week or so. It'll be the Kings and the Nets on August 7th. Then they'll take on the Rockets on August 9th at 5 p.m. And then I believe we got a TNT game, a nationally televised game against the New Orleans Pelicans. How fitting that that game gets on to TNT after what happened on March 11th. It'll be the Kings versus the Pelicans at 6 p.m. And then they'll wrap up the resumption of the regular season on August 13th against the Lakers with a time yet to be determined. I'm sure how that game is placed on the schedule might depend on whether the Lakers are fighting for home court advantage or whether the Lakers are fighting for the number one seed. Oh, wait. What would the Lakers be fighting for? I'm sure the Lakers, I don't know if it's playing on the Lakers court. I don't know if theater lighting. Reggie Miller is extremely confused right now. I don't know what they decided on the top seeds on what they're going to get. I know that we've seen the practice courts. They've got like the logos on them. I've seen, you know, I saw a picture of them setting up like the Pacers practice court, and I saw one other one, and it's like, okay, all right, cool. Like you flew the courts in. All right, like, okay, are we going to do that for games too? Like, I mean, because there's, you know, there's teams that are listed, you know, home and away. Did the Kings fly, you know, the black court out there or the, you know, the retro court? Is that how it's going to work? I assume that that's going to be a part of it. But the Kings and the Lakers, the time of that will be determined. And perhaps it could depend on if the Kings win, whether they're playing the Memphis Grizzlies or perhaps somebody else in an 8-9 play-in matchup. So there's the regular schedule. Again, that was kind of a long way of going through it, but it's the Spurs, the Magic, the Mavericks, the Pelicans, the Nets, the Rockets, the Pelicans again, and they'll wrap things up with the Los Angeles Lakers. Another bit of news here, Igor Kokoskov, the associate head coach for the Sacramento Kings, he is off to take the lead role at Fenerbahce, one of the top international programs in the entire world. He's going to be the head coach. I believe I read, and let me check my notes here real quick. Yeah, he's going to stick around through the bubble. So he'll be around for the Sacramento Kings in those eight games that we just talked about, but he will not be around whenever next season begins for the Sacramento Kings as he's headed off to Fenerbahce. As we noted, the Kings are back at, I don't want to call it practice. They're back at mandatory workouts. There are no team practices until the season resumes or until everybody gets to Orlando. So once they get past that quarantine period of 36 to 48 hours, that'll be the first time once those tests are done, that'll be the first time that teams can have actual team practices. Right now, everything is still individual workouts. There are still only a certain amount of players. And from what I understand, there's only a certain amount of people allowed in the practice facility at a time. So there's still a lot of kind of social distancing practicing going on right now, even within NBA circles. So the first official practice won't take place for probably about another 7 to 8 days, depending on when you're listening to this. It's July 4th now, as I mentioned. So the next practice or the first practice is probably going to take place on anywhere from July 11th to July 13th. But the guys are back for mandatory workouts. And we've heard from De'Aaron Fox this week. We've heard from Marvin Bagley. I'll allow you to hear from all of them. We'll start with Kemp Bazemore, who was asked by Sean Cunningham about the difficulties of, you know, kind of packing up, leaving your family and getting ready to enter this NBA bubble.
It's tough. It's tough on, you know, being a husband and a father. I cried like a little baby when I left to head out here a couple weeks ago. And, you know, just seeing him and my wife stand on the front porch and as I'm leaving and he has like absolutely no idea, you know, that I'm gone for as long as I'm going to be gone. So it's definitely tough. And especially with him being at such a young age, he's 14 months now. And, you know, it's pivotal, you know, as a child to kind of have that, you know, stable foundation. And my wife's also pregnant with a little girl coming in September. So You know, and the realistic front of it is very tough. You know, I've had some people in my corner that have helped me with the ease of making this decision to go and play. You know, your 20s and 30s, you're making a lot of sacrifices, you know, from your families and, you know, doing certain things. But, you know, it's, you know, I'm in a position to really set up my legacy and really help those behind me. So it's a tough decision, and it's something that my wife and I are diligently, you know, working on, you know, trying to stay connected, you know, phone calls, you know, videos, FaceTime, you know, doing this, you know, everything we can to kind of stay connected and make light of the situation.
And that's one of the most just realist, most in-depth answers I've heard an NBA player give regarding leaving their family in this bubble. And, you know, you heard him talk about that his wife is pregnant. You probably read about Gordon Hayward. He was, and I don't know that, you know, I think Gordon Hayward is getting a little bit more attention than Kent Bazemore is, because I don't know that people expect Kent Bazemore to be playing in September, while I believe most people are assuming that the Boston Celtics will be playing in September. That is probably, you know, at minimum, if you're going to the early part of September, that's the probably right about the beginning of the second round or pretty close to it. I'd imagine the second round of the playoffs probably going to begin around week one of September. And his wife's pregnant, and he was adamant, like, yeah, my wife goes into labor, I'm going to be with her. I'm going to be there. And there are protocols for a player who has to have basically a scheduled or excused exit from the bubble. And it involves quarantining when they return. So there's not going to be a situation where, you know, Gordon Hayward can leave for the birth of his child and come back, get back on a Tuesday, and play in game two or game three of the second round of the NBA playoffs on a Wednesday. That's the old regular NBA world. That is not the quarantine world. He'll get back, and I believe he'll have to quarantine, I think, for 4 days. An excused absence, as they've termed it, an excused absence will result in them going through multiple kind of checkpoints and tests and different protocols to be safe. And it will result in a 4-day quarantine once they return. An unexcused absence, and I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm envisioning a situation where maybe a player leaves the complex without permission. That's what I envision unexcused absence is, almost like we're at school or something. That's a 10-day quarantine. So these are both commitments from players and teams, as well as the league, that, you know, if you've got to leave, we'll try to get you back, but we still have got to adhere to the protocol that we have in front of us. And I loved what Kent Bazemore said there. Of course, again, Kent Bazemore probably doesn't have to address playing in September the way that Gordon Hayward does, but both of them are under situations. When I saw that clip from Kent Bazemore for the first time, man, my heart just sank. I felt for him, because you know that this is the case. Like, you know that this is what the players are dealing with, but this is the first time that I've really heard a player just in-depthly talk about, you know, seeing their wife and their kids as they turned around and not really knowing that he's going to be gone. Because when you look back at it here, we're at July 4th. They had to get back here to Sacramento. I'm saying they. I forgive me for not being more specific. Kent Bazemore, you know, he had to be back here with July 21st, 22nd. So he's already been away from home, you know, for a couple of weeks. By the time they, you know, get to actually start playing games, he's already gone for over a month. And then he's got to play the games. Then they got 8 games to play. Now we're talking about the middle of August. He's gone almost 2 months. And that's if the Sacramento Kings aren't competing, you know, for those play-in spots. Because if you got the first round of the playoffs will be delayed a little bit if you've got play-in games. So, you know, we're not under that, you know, blanket schedule that we used to be, where we know everything is being set up for TV. when one series, if you know, two teams that would play each other in the second round, if they wrap up their series in four games, we're back at it. If the eight seed wins game one of the, you know, the play-in games, it's over. Boom, we're starting the first round of the playoffs right away. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of adjusting. It's just stuff that we're not used to. You know, it's like the regular season ends and we got to wait, you know, 6 days till the playoff starts because we want the playoffs to start on a Thursday or a Friday. And I think that'll still be the case once the conference finals get here. And they obviously have it, you know, built out all the way until, I can't remember the exact day. I think it was October 12th or somewhere around there. But, you know, they're not held to these, you know, locked in days for TV schedules, at least leading up to the conference finals. Once you get to the conference finals, it'll be a little bit different because you're only talking about two series and you're talking about them on two different networks. Another guy who spoke to the Sacramento media this week was Harrison Barnes.
That was tough. I mean, Buddy, Alex, Jabari, those guys were working. We've been in touch with them for a while. So to not have them here, to not, you know, be able to see them with everybody else has been difficult. But at the same time, you know, we're glad that, you know, they're all feeling good. You know, none of them are really showing symptoms. Hopefully get them back, you know, as quick as possible and, you know, have them meet up with us here in Orlando.
Jabari Parker is an interesting one there. You heard Harrison Barnes reference him, and we talked about on the last episode of the Sacramento Kings podcast, you know, Jabari Parker, Alex Lynn, Buddy Hield, all tested positive for COVID-19. Everybody is aware of that here at this point. But Jabari Parker was photographed, like, playing tennis, and he was out without a mask. And, there's a lot of different parts to dissect there. Particularly, I think you can social distance playing tennis, but my bigger concern was you're not supposed to be working out when you test positive. You're supposed to, they're still trying to get a grasp for what this has done to your immune system. And, you know, if you're asymptomatic, they obviously want you to remain asymptomatic and see him out there, you know, playing tennis and doing this whole thing. It's like, I even heard a report like he was at his house and it's like, all right, like, okay, that's cool, but you're not supposed to be exercising in any way, shape, or form. And, Luke Walton addressed that this week. And I had a conversation on the July 1st edition of the podcast with Damian Barling. If you're not familiar, I host a daily sports talk show right here on this very same podcast platform that you're listening to this on. If you don't listen, I would love it if you did. It's called The Podcast with Damian Barling. And I had a conversation earlier this week with Jason Jones, the beat writer for the Sacramento Kings, for The Athletic. And we talked about, you know, we started our conversation talking about Jabari Parker, and I asked him whether he thought Jabari would actually make it to Orlando.
I still think he does. I think he does.
Any added concern after the tennis and the maskless photos? Or I don't even think it was being maskless that was a concern. I think it was the fact that he was working out after testing positive when he was supposed to be, you know, letting his immune system build back up. I just, you know, I saw that and thought, I wonder if they just tell him to stay home.
Because there's some things that aren't really clear, like exactly when did he test positive? Because if he never made it back to Sacramento, and they would be back in Sacramento, I believe, June 22nd, if he never made it back, that means he might have tested positive. Who knows? He said all his statements that was, you know, a few days ago.
Yeah.
He might have tested positive June 14th. So maybe he was okay at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so I think because this thing is so new, a lot of times people are making assumptions, you know, well, maybe, you know, what he should or should. I can't tell him what he should. I'm not a doctor. But I don't think that's going to prevent him from going. And if it was going to prevent him, the Kings would have put someone in that roster spot already. So I think they're expecting that he'll be able to get down there. And also, just because you've got to look at the big picture, there's a good chance Jabari opts in for next season.
Right.
So if you can get him down there and at least get some work with him, because they really never got to see him after the trade. He wasn't healthy. And then when he did the one game he did play, he like a guy who hadn't played in a month and a half, which is what he was. So I think for the big picture, even though I don't think they kind of a development situation, you don't want to alienate him. I mean, he didn't do anything illegal. And I just think right now, because there's so much, you know, angst about the virus and who has it, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, when I saw the picture, I was like, okay, he's out there, you know. I said, at least he's not like playing doubles tennis and hugging people. I said, you know, I couldn't, I that wasn't the moment that got me in an uproar. I was more in an uproar seeing a news report that students at the University of Alabama had
testified. Oh my gosh.
That upsets me way more than Jabari Parker playing tennis at home.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't like in a public course with a bunch of people. He was at home, if I remember correctly. He was at home. I could be wrong, but I don't think he went to, you know, the local park in Chicago and gathered up 30 kids to play with him. So
Yeah,
I can't, you know, act like that's the worst thing ever.
The tennis thing isn't, I thought, man, if there's ever a social distancing sport, man, you got tennis and you got golf. My concern was, my concern tied along with more, which is a point that you brought up that I didn't think about, was when did he actually test positive? Because if he had been a few days removed from it, maybe he was at the point where he could get out and do some physical activity. I also love that you said, I'm not a doctor. Jason, I don't know if you're aware, it's a 2020. It really doesn't matter if you're a doctor or not. Everybody is going to tell you the proper way to fight off this virus. So you don't have to, if you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, man, you're in good shape.
Yeah. My favorite thing right now was I work in the medical field. I'm like, bruh, you sell supplies. Stop it. I work in the medical field. I know. No, bruh, you're a receptionist. You're not a doctor. Stop.
Okay, I know a doctor. I was just say that. Like, I golf with a doctor. And he told me, I went to high school with a guy who became a doctor, and he told me...
I listened to Dr. Dre yesterday.
Yeah, there you go. That's probably the most accurate one of all of them. Both Dr. Dre's, the one with Ed Lover and the one without Ed Lover.
But that's two sources of information, and they told me.
What do you think happens with Bagley's down there? Like, I think that's been one of the most confusing. Like, what do you do with Marvin Bagley when you get there? I assume he's healthy. What do they do with him? He hadn't particularly played well when he was in. Like, what do you think happens in Orlando with him?
I think you bring him off the bench and hope you get some minutes from him. You know, if you're eliminated, you play him more. But this is a situation to be like, okay, we got a chance to get in the playoffs, but let's make sure Marvin gets his development time. No, we got next season for that.
I
thought about it. Even if Marvin plays in 8 games down there, that's still only 81 games over 2 seasons. So. I just don't think you can really go down there with the idea that Marvin has to get, you know, X amount of minutes. I mean, his layoff's been longer than anybody.
Yeah.
He hasn't played since January. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, he can do, you know, I know he's been working out. I know, you know, his foot feels good. I've been told that he's ready to go. He wants to get out there and play. But, the fact is, you haven't played since, you know, you can play, you know, 5-on-5 competitive ball, you know, since January. His last game was a pretty good one, but still, you haven't played since January.
Yeah.
So I don't, he hasn't been banging against NBA bodies. You know, he does have the advantage of having a 6'7", 6'8", Division I level brother, but that's not going against Zion. That's not going against, say you're trying to think of who they go against. You know, Jared Allen from Brooklyn. That's not, you know, an NBA player.
Yeah, I mean, he passes the eye test. He looks good right now. I wonder if there's something like in the 2.5 weeks of actual practice that he could show Luke Walton and that coaching staff where it's like, hey, you know, because I got to go back to your, you know, point that you made, you know, 10 minutes ago, was that they're all coming off of this long layoff, and maybe Bagley's coming in and he can show something during those 2.5 weeks where suddenly for this 8-game stretch, he is a valuable part of what they do. It's just hard to envision right now.
Yeah. Maybe he has a 3-point shot that he said he's been working on that he never got to show. And that's the thing they get with Bielitsa right now that they need, you know, that floor spacing.
Yeah.
And right now Marvin's got a floor space, or at least he wasn't. And then the other thing is this, Marvin right now is not a, you know, you play Belly, he can facilitate. He used to be a point guard. He's a kid, so he has that part of his game. Marvin is a get the ball and score guy, which is why I like him with the second unit, right now. And that's why Luke used him in that role when he came back from the first injury. It was easier to have him just play center and then kind of build him back up, and it was starting to come. Boom, he gets hurt again. you know. And then there was the whole part that people just didn't trust the medical reports from the Kings anymore, because you had the thing with Rashawn, where it's like, okay, it's a sore shoulder. By the way, he's getting injections right now. It's like, what? I thought it was just sore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was under the impression, no intel per se, that just from talking to Marvin, people around there, if the season had continued, I don't think Marvin would have played again.
You do or you don't?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think he would have played again.
Yeah, me.
But now, I think if you get him back, I mean, that's a hell of a wild card to have. I mean, just in terms of talent and the things he can do, but I don't think you destroy, I think you probably come up with the same starting five, with Bogey, Fox, Harrison, Belly, and Rashawn. And then you just, if Marvin's rolling, you let him go. But if he's not rolling, it's okay. You realize he hasn't played basketball from January. And I think the big thing for them will be keeping Marvin engaged and letting him realize this is not a knock on you. This is what it's like in a playoff chase. We don't have time to be sensitive to people, worry about your feelings. Marvin didn't come off the bench when he came back. Asked him about the second unit. He looked at you like it was tough for him to be lumped in with the second unit.
Yeah.
But I just think this is no time to care about and be catering to anyone's feelings right now. If he's not, ready to help right away, he's got to watch more right now.
Yeah, you brought up Bogey. I'm going to give The Athletic a plug here, as we should do, since you're kind enough to join us from The Athletic, and give you a little preview of the mailbag that you do there as it pertains to the Kings, because this is a question that we've had here on the podcast, and I oftentimes I ask questions I don't know the answer to. I'm just throwing them out there to the universe, and you actually answered this question, and I think it's a good one. It came from one of your readers. You mentioned Bogdan Bogdanovic. What is the effect of the lower salary cap that we're, you spoke about how, going back for money, how, if the league loses money, the players lose money. We all know Adam Silver has braced us for the reduction, not necessarily us, but he's praised NBA teams for the reduction in salary cap. That's going to have a direct effect on how the Kings approach this offseason. And obviously Bogdan Bogdanovic is a big piece of what they've got to deal with this offseason. Is there suddenly a lower salary cap? Does there become an issue now with re-signing Bogey this offseason?
Yeah, what it does is, it in terms of the max amount the Kings can offer, it lowers it, because I think when you hear people hear a max deal, they see the number, but it really is it's tied to a percentage of the cap.
Yeah.
So that number, you see a guy sign a max deal 1 year, it might be 4 for $140 or whatever the case may be. But if the cap goes up, the value of that deal goes up. So a lot of, so Bogey definitely is going to play, because he doesn't want that value number to go down.
Right.
Thus his number goes down. And the thing is, because he's restricted, pretty much the Kings has, said that, they were prepared to pay him upwards of $18 million a year and they had to match a deal.
Sure.
They have no intention on losing him. They have no intention of letting him walk.
Yeah.
So even if he were to sign an offer sheet, they're going to match it. So it's just a matter of how much it'll be worth.
And that was my question. Is there like a death blow? Like, is there a number that they get back and they go, I don't know that we can match this.
There wasn't before, because I don't think a team is going to offer him a contract that to where you would be like, there's no, I mean, he's not going to get say based on last year, he's not going to get a 4 year, $100 million offer.
Sure.
So, I think that's part of it too. They know that with the market, he's not going to go out there and get a max offer. And if that's the case, you're going to match whatever happens, because you're not going to lose him. I think the last 20 games helped his case a lot.
Yeah.
Because you saw what playing with De'Aaron did. A lot of people forget De'Aaron loves to play in attack mode, in the sense that he's not facilitating, that he's just getting the ball and attacking. And Bogey allows him to do that. So, Fox's value was tied to, Bogey. I think in a lot of ways Buddy's is, because in a lot of ways Bogey is the Buddy whisperer.
Mm.
He can get Buddy to see things that maybe Buddy doesn't hear from Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So he works with him, and I wrote a story about it a few months ago. how they, you know, they're good friends, but Bogey starting means Buddy was on the bench. And they were like, no, that's not an issue for us. That's the coaching. That's not our problem.
Yeah.
And if they're both playing, well, they're both going to play. So I think, with the cap number going down, what it would probably do is it would limit maybe what other teams could offer him. But either way, I expect he'd still be a king. Either way, it's just a matter of what that final number will be, which we won't know until the end of all this, because if they're able to finish the season and get more of that revenue, that number is going to go down.
Yeah.
Because of, losing games. But it's a matter of how much it goes down.
And the good news for the Kings is the salary cap doesn't just go down for the Kings. It goes down for the rest right. of the league. So that's a positive. And two, man, if this all happens, Jason, and we get lucky and we crown an NBA champion, the turnaround is going to be insanely quick. They're going to have to announce the salary cap number, and then free agency is going to start a couple of days later. You're going to have the draft mixed up and all of this. So it's not like teams are going to really, other than the eight teams that don't have to go to Orlando, you're not going to have a whole ton of time to contemplate the future once all of this stuff is kind of thrown out there. Again, assuming we crown an NBA champion.
Yeah, and that's the thing, assuming. And assuming we get that far, the two teams that get that far, I expect them to look horrible for the first month of the next season.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a great point.
That's going to be a crazy turnaround. I mean, nothing like we've ever seen. I mean, you're going to have like, the finals, the draft, free agency, all within a week.
That's going to be insane. Absolutely insane.
You could end the season like mid-October, and then like 3 weeks later, two or three weeks later, you got training camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Jason Jones of The Athletic, man, I appreciate you so much. Thank you, my brother.
No problem. Anytime.
There's actually a lot more to that conversation as it pertained to the NBA, the resumption of the season, everything going on in Orlando. I isolated the stuff as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings because obviously that is the focus of our podcast here on the Hoopball Podcast Network. But if you would like to hear the whole conversation with Jason Jones, go check out the daily podcast. It's called The Podcast with Damian Barling. And again, it is available here on this very same podcast platform that you're listening to this one on. If you love Kings Talk, which you're listening to this, so I'm assuming that you do, and you want your sports content to be centralized here locally, go check it out. Again, The Podcast with Damian Barling. That was the July 1st edition, by the way, if you just want to go hear that conversation with Jason Jones. That was the July 1st edition of The Podcast, so go check that out. Another note here, Marvin Bagley spoke to the media this weekend, and Marvin Bagley is a big question mark here, headed into the resumption of the season, and Sean Cunningham talked to him as the rest of the media did and asked him, how he feels. Is he ready to go? And, what he thinks this upcoming stretch of eight games in Orlando will look like for him.
First of all, I'm doing great, man. I feel great. I feel 100%. Been feeling great, getting these workouts in and back in the gym. So I'm ready. I'm ready to go. It's just about controlling what I can control and keep continuing to move forward and get better every day. So I'm excited. I'm excited.
And do you
He's excited. He's ready to go. He looks like $1 million. I mean, he's the latest basketball player who, in his time away, put 20 pounds of muscle on or 10 pounds of muscle on or something along those lines. But there's no denying he looks phenomenal. He's been working here this offseason. I don't know what to call it. He's been working here during this break, regardless of what you want to call it. He looks fantastic. How is that going to translate onto the basketball floor? I guess we'll find out when the teams resume practice here, probably in another week and some change. And then what will that mean when they get back on the court? Well, we've got some scrimmage games to look at, and we've got the regular season concluding beginning on July 31st. So there you have it. Appreciate you so much for tuning in to the Sacramento Kings podcast. I go through a range of emotions when it comes to talking about basketball. I really do this with all sports, and that I feel like 1 minute it's like doom and gloom and everything looks bad, and like it still feels like we're an eternity away from basketball resuming. Like, it's the beginning of July. Like, it's July 4th right now as I'm recording this. Games don't start getting played until July 30th, and I keep waiting. Something's going to go wrong. And then other days, it's like, oh, please don't let anything go wrong. And then other days, it's like, man, they have got this under control. We've got basketball on the way. Either way, speaking for all of us, I'm certain we want these players to be healthy. We want these coaches. We want everybody associated with the NBA to stay healthy. And maybe we can, you know, we're not going to, watching basketball is going to bring us no sense of normalcy. Absolutely none. But it will be pretty awesome to see, and it'll be pretty awesome to have that outlet. So all we could do is that hope everything goes well, and we'll continue to monitor everything. I'll continue to grab the sound here as the days go along, as the media sessions begin to add up, and we'll continue to be here with you each and every single week on the Sacramento Kings podcast presented by HoopBall and the HoopBall Podcast Network. Remember, if you want to get 20% off the brand new lawnmower over at manscaped.com, that's the lawnmower 3.0, by the way, with the water-resistant technology, and you want to make sure you grab that. HoopBall20, that is the discount code. HoopBall20, use that over at manscaped.com. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Go check out the Daily Podcast, the podcast with Damian Barling, here on the same podcast platform that you're listening to this one on, and we'll see you next week right here on the HoopBall Podcast Network.